everybody. Happy hump day. Chris Meany here with you. FTN Mean Streets, powered by Game Plus Network. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for taking the time to hang out here today. It's going to be a jam-packed show. We're going to try to hit on every single sport, and we're leading here with golf. So just before we came on here, some fantastic news, of course. Last week, Tiger Woods spoke to the media for the first time really since that horrific crash accident, the car accident a few years ago, where really, a couple of years ago now, he almost lost his leg. And he spoke out last week talking about how he was a long ways away from golf and, you know, that he would play sparingly. But he just announced, we're live here on the Twitter machine if you're hanging out with us on our YouTube page. As always, smash a like button, leave a comment, a question, hang out with us here during the show. If you're watching live here on Game Plus, this just came down a couple hours ago. Well, if you're watching on Game Plus, it came down a couple hours ago. If you're watching here live, it just came down. I'm excited, okay? I can't get getting ahead of myself here. Tiger Woods, he just tweeted 15 minutes ago, although it's been a long and challenging year, I am very excited to close it out by competing in the PNC Championship with his son, Charlie. I'm playing as a dad and couldn't be more excited and proud. So that is December 18th, 19th with his son, Charlie. It will be Woods' first competition since he was involved in that car accident on February 23rd. It does feel like such a long time ago. It's not even a year. So that's pretty cool, right? I'm a big Tiger fan. It's never going to be, the Tiger of old, but it's nice to see him swinging and not closing the door on golf. And like, can we get excited about Charlie? Are you kidding me? Like, where can I lay some juice down on Charlie to win like the Masters in 5 years? Like, I'm stoked for Tiger to be back on the course, and it's cool. Yeah, we do have some guys hanging out with us here. Of course, we got our guy George Z, who does a lot of the stuff here for us on Mean Streets. Yes, it is happening, man. Tiger Woods. Today, a lot going on. There's a handful of games in the NBA. Actually, there's a ton of games in the NBA and a handful of games in the NHL. We got some NHL props. We have some NHL picks. We have some NBA picks and some NBA props. We got some three-point props here for you on this show today. And as we do every single Wednesday, Tino's going to drop by and we're going to talk about the roster trends in fantasy football. This is really going to be the last time we do this because this is week 14. This is a just different than years past. Usually week 14 is the first week of fantasy football playoff time. There's one more week here in fantasy football regular season before we get to the playoffs, but we're not going to do this roster trend stuff anymore. There's waiver wire stuff has kind of run its course. It's not really about ads and drops. It's about, you know, setting yourself up for a playoff run. So I will touch on a few players that I think should absolutely be owned, but this is the time of the year that you need to have two quarterbacks. You need to have two defenses. Heck, you probably need to have two tight ends as well. And you need to have your dudes, your running backs handcuffed. Other running backs should be rostered as well. Guys that we've talked about so much in the show that have fallen into more work. Sony Michel. How many times have we talked about Sony Michel? He's always on the most dropped list when he doesn't do anything. And then last week you had him. Boom. Away you go. It's that simple. A guy last night, two nights ago at hockey, he was just like, man, I picked up this Sony Michel guy and I won my fantasy football week and now I'm headed to the playoffs. I don't know. I just picked him up off the waiver wire in the morning. Like, that stuff shouldn't happen. Like, good for my buddy to be able to pick him up. And every league is different, certainly shallow leagues, but you need to have these next man up type deals picked up, right? Jake Seeley talks about it all the time, all in football. Catch it on Game Plus tonight. Him and Jeff Ratcliffe, number one ranker in the game. I believe Jake's inside the top 10. He's probably not happy about being inside the top 10. He'd rather be inside the top 5. He's won it a couple times over the course of his fantasy football career. Share the wealth. Jeff Ratcliffe is absolutely killing it. He's got his rankings, his projections over at FTN at fantasy.com. Those two, it's always a great conversation when they get together. But he says it all the time, and I agree with him. You got to have that next man up. It doesn't even have to be your handcuff. And we'll talk about some of those running backs in a little bit. But it's going to be the last time we talk roster trends with Tino. So we'll take a look at the most added and the most drop. We'll take a look at just some guys that you can stream, some defenses, because I left all the defenses, the most five pickups were defenses. So that's just, I feel like it is people planning ahead for a playoff time. And I love that. I have two defenses. Heck, in a deeper league, have three. It's not just about your defense and who you're going to roll out. You're also blocking other people in your league. And I think it's a smart move. I don't think there's anything selfish or petty about that at all. So you got to set yourself up. Man, I'm fired up. Tiger Woods, he's back. Josh Kolacci's hanging out with us here today. Meany and Tino, let's go. No shout out for my guy, George. Running the boards here. Jokes aside, Josh, we're happy for you to hang out. Let's break, and we'll bring in Tino. There's some NFL news just kind of filtering through here, some injury stuff. Man, Elijah Moore is the latest to kind of come out of nowhere here. Didn't practice today due to a quad injury, so that's significant. He's been absolutely crushing it, so we'll talk about some injuries. We'll take a look at the most added, the most dropped. We got some NBA, we got some NHL. We got a lot of stuff here on Mean Streets. So also maybe take a quick little sneak peek at Week 14 lines as well with Tino. Also, Stanley Cup odds. Man, there's so much goodness here on this show. So keep your lock. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez. Tino Rodriguez _ on the Twitter machine. Man, that intro was probably one of my worst ever. But before we got on, man, I was like, I saw the Tiger thing and I was stoked, dude. I don't know if you're a big golf fan. I know George is hanging out here. I know he's obviously a big golf fan as well, but just super cool, man, to see not only just Tiger, but man, his son is going to be, he's already a heck of a golfer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an avid golf fan from afar. I stay in my lane, you know, and when there's anything golf I need to know, I just hit up 3 putts for par, our guy, George. And he lets me know, especially when I have to get better on the, over at the range or on the course. I haven't been since that one debacle I had where I drank too much beer and couldn't make it through 18 holes, but I will be back soon and I plan to redeem myself. But yeah, not the best golfer.
It's a super tough sport. Yeah. And George will appreciate this. I think, you know, after the first round of the Hero Challenge, I think it was the first or maybe the second, Rory McIlroy was interviewed after. And I think like one of the questions and the questions that these guys, you know, this man across every sport, the questions that these athletes get are just, it's ludicrous, man. And I'm not saying that I'm a terrific journalist, but I could come up with way better questions. Like the 101 is like, don't ask a question where the answer is like a yes or no. And I hear that all the time. But the one question to Rory was just like, you know, how come you've been so inconsistent? It's like, dude, like it's golf. Like it's tough, man. Yeah. It's tough for really good golfers to show any kind of consistency. Consistency has been kind of the theme of the show here over the past couple of weeks and talking about teams in the NFL. But let's talk. You're not rocking any Nets. Like what's going on here? You didn't want to come on and. Faded in the dark a little bit. Can't really see it. Yeah, KD took over last night, and the Mavs went cold in the fourth quarter. There's no question. But what did you take away from that game last night?
The Nets are a second-half team. That's just what they do. It's very actually – it's funny to me that the brand of Nets basketball that we have right now is give the ball to KD and everyone move out of the way. But I'm totally here for it. Like, down the stretch, like, there's no one else you'd rather have the ball than Kevin Durant. But Harden played pretty well yesterday. He played pretty well. The Mavs defense kind of let them down, too, towards the end there. So – hey, listen, that I told you they kind of only lose to good teams because down the stretch, good teams take over. The Bulls were able to hit some big shots down the stretch, and that's how they beat them 2 games ago. So the Mavs weren't able to do that, and that's why the Nets were able to win. But, yeah, I mean, not a convincing win, but luckily we covered the spread. The Bing Bong Parlay, I threw it in the chat. Bing Bong Parlay, we're going to try to get it back-to-back. It hit. It never normally hits. It hits yesterday.
You've been crushing the NBA, and we're going to talk about the NBA a little bit longer. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to run through
George
your picks, but you have
at
been
at me too, by the way. George is he's coming at me with slap shots with his putter after the Labatt. He's telling me I have a slap shot putter. Are you telling me I use it like Happy Gilmore? Yes.
But one of my buddies golfs like that, and he's a pretty decent golfer. He probably, I'd say his handicap's like maybe 13 and a half, and he does putt like that, and it kind of drives me nuts. I feel like he should putt normally, but I guess whatever works for him, just an occasional golfer. But I did like that Tino hitting slap shots with the putter after a couple of bats, right, on the course. Speaking of golf, how about Zegras with that flop shot last night? That was phenomenal to watch. Probably one of the better goals I've ever seen. And, you know, I there's like a bit of a history behind it, like the Michigan. Have you ever seen like someone that's like a lacrosse style pick it up? I try it all the time, and I fall over myself when I play rec league hockey. But there's usually more time in beer league, right? Guys are not moving around too many labats. But instead of flipping it up like that, and Milano was in front of the net, he was yelling Michigan apparently, and he's like, "I'm not going to flip it up. I'm just gonna actually flip it up." And he batted it out of the air. Yeah, go do yourself a favor and watch that. It was phenomenal last night. Okay, so a little bit of fantasy football talk. We do have some NBA props as well. I'm going to dive into some 3-point props and see if we could, provide some winners. But let's take a look at we do every Wednesday. But like I said, man, this is going to be the last time we do this because, fantasy football regular season is over. And now's the time to really kind of turn our attention to the NBA. We're going to help you out if you have any starter sit questions. We're still going to dive into football on this show. We're still going to talk fantasy football. We will dive into the matchups, especially come playoff time. But for the most part, the waiver wire stuff is absolutely done. But this is what we got here for the most added over the last 24 hours on Yahoo Sports. No surprise up at the top is KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne, now the graphics, so proceed with caution here. But jokes aside, man, Adam Thielen's dealing with a high ankle sprain. This is a short turnaround. They play tomorrow night against the Steelers. This guy's probably going to get a handful of targets. And I like the Tyler Conklin pickup as well. I think I'm gonna play him in a couple spots. Like, as my flex, I think he's like, we can get into it in a little bit here, but he's a guy who's been getting targets anyways. Even with Thielen, there was a couple games in a row where he led the Vikings in targets. He's been running a lot of routes as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is number two on that list. A lot of teams represented here just who were on bye last week. You see a bunch of Titans there, Dontrelle Hillard. We have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in there, Deontay Foreman, Julio Jones, Jermichael Hasty. I don't know. I get it. Maybe just add a dude from San Fran in case anything happens. Some insurance, what we talked about at the top of the show. Taysom Hill threw 4 picks the other day, and he just ended up as a top 5 fantasy quarterback because of what he could do with his legs. And Russell Gage. Russell Gage is the interesting one on this list, too. I'll let you take it away. What do you make of this list? It's just, do you agree? KJ Osborne, he's like the number one pickup here this week.
I don't agree he should be the most added pickup, actually. I mean, I understand naturally because of Adam Thielen, but I mean, you can make a case for Tyler Conklin, especially with how tight ends are, and he had like 9 targets last week. I think he caught 7 passes. So I wanted to bring up Russell Gage because I picked him up with caution last week because I had to. Now, one of my friends gave me a warning shot, basically. He picked up Russell Gage in a pinch like I did, and he put up a 0 spot when he played against Carolina. Or no, it was against Dallas. And it killed him. He lost that week because of it. And I was like, oh, man, I don't feel so great. He's coming off a double-digit week. But 12 targets, caught 11 of 12 for 130 yards. I know he lost a fumble, but it was a really good play. I remember he came up behind him, punched it out. I mean, look, dude, long story short, I think Russell Gage is a must-add right now. And then in terms of the running backs on that list, you saw Hasty. I think the best way I could word this is – you know, you said next man up, so I would pick up Hasty thinking maybe he's the next man up with Jeff Wilson kind of banged up too. But really, just fit your team with the next man up in general. I had Jeff Wilson Jr., so I'm kind of debating, do I ride with Jeff Wilson? Do I pick up Hasty? I don't want to get too cute. Do I pick up on both? Because I know Mitchell's kind of questionable. But fill your roster right now with those backups because it's essential. It's essential. But the one guy I wanted to talk up is Hilliard, Dontrelle Hilliard. I mean, if you look at his last couple weeks, I know we kind of forgot about it, but dude, he's a double-digit machine right now. I know a couple games ago he had like double-digit targets in the passing game. I think that could be huge down the stretch. I mean, I think he's a potential, you know, top 20 running back that's kind of just floating around in on fantasy waiver wires right now. So Hilliard's the one running back that pops out to me, but in terms of wide receiver, it makes sense you gravitate to Osborne, but I'm terrified about it because George put on the graphics. It's like, I gotta look elsewhere now.
You guys are just shots. I mean, I said it too, right? So like shots fired originally from me, but originally from George with the slap shots and the labats. But
how do you not love the situation, right? For Osborne.
Right.
He was doing well, even when Thielen was playing, right? So
yes, both of these guys, to take a look, like for KJ Osborne last week, 7 targets, 4 grabs, 47 yards and a touchdown, 12 fantasy points. Before that, super quiet, right? I mean, you can count the catches on one hand. From week 8 to week 12, he had Yeah, you can. Five catches and fewer than 50 yards. Earlier in the season, he was involved. They were running a lot of three wide receiver sets, which is something that they hadn't done in years past. And he was really, 7 for 76, 5 for 91 in a touchdown, a couple dud games. But then he had another one against Carolina before the bye where he had 6 grabs for 78 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown came late. I believe it was a walk-off from him. But for Conklin, he has been more consistent, to your point, ever since week 8. 5 for 57, 5 for 45, 3 for 11, 2 touchdowns, 3 for 35, 2 for 25, not fantastic. But last week, 9 targets, 7 grabs, and 56 yards. I think Hillard and Foreman are both decent plays here this week. I got them both ranked as top 33 running backs. So like flex plays, maybe your situation, Jonathan Taylor, it's like the worst time for Jonathan Taylor to be on a bye. But, you know, hopefully he's just cruising. You're cruising because of him. But for Hillard, 12 for 131 in a touchdown. You mentioned the week before against the Texans, week 11, where he got a lot of usage through the air. But also Foreman, I think, you know, against the Jags, this is a really good spot against the Jags. Don't know if Julio's going to play. We know A.J. Brown's not going to play. And if the Titans, if they do what they did a couple weeks ago, Tino, against the Pats, they probably run the ball 25, 30 times in this game. It was old Bill Belichick style. 19 carries and 109 yards for Foreman last time the Titans played against the Pats. So there's a couple other guys I wanted to mention here. Chuba Hubbard, he's most likely owned everywhere, but a spot against the Falcons. Just be careful with him because Ameer Abdullah had been playing more snaps than him over the past couple weeks, even with, you know, a healthy CMC there. I think that Chuba will be the lead, but I do believe that Abdullah will be sprinkled in. I think he's going to be the third down back there. I think he's got more upside, but Chuba is the guy that I have ranked higher. If I wanted to pick, if you had to pick one of the two, I would go that way. Samaje Perine is one of those next man up guys. There's some rumblings out of Cincinnati that Joe Mixon's dealing with a neck injury. Like, don't mess around. As a Mixon owner, I've had Perine just on my bench the entire time. It's worked out for me twice where he's had double-digit fantasy points. Just want that next man up type deal. And it would be Samaje Perine. We already have a sample size this year and last year of him getting, you know, kind of a full workload, catching balls out of the backfield and some carries if anything were to happen. And then one more guy I wanted to bring to your attention, 2% ownership. I picked him up in 4 Yahoo leagues, so maybe I'm just a big part of this 2%. It's Jalen Guyton. Why not? We didn't talk yesterday about Keenan Allen. He's on the COVID list. Who's going to be the number 2 in that offense? It could be Guyton, man.
It very true. Very true. Or could be a heavy dose of the tight ends. I mean, they are playing the Giants they're playing the Giants who haven't been able to guard a tight end in, you know, 20 plus years. A name on the list, by the way, I don't want to change off Jalen Guyton, but we didn't really mention it. I know we kind of snide at it yesterday in Julio Jones. He is available out there. He's still actually eligible to be put on your IR spot. So if you could pick him up and add him, I know his ownership's only about 70% on Yahoo, maybe 75. So he's not, you know, out there everywhere. But if he is, here's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people who pick up KJ Osborne or are Thielen owners, and they're probably picking him up hoping that they can somehow, you know, replicate those points, which just naturally isn't going to happen. You know, you can't pick up KJ Osborne thinking he's going to be Adam Thielen. But if you're looking for a guy, say Thielen was your wide receiver one, picking up KJ Osborne isn't going to match that. But of that list, the guy most likely to possibly be a wide receiver one, I mean, I know he's done nothing all year. I get it, but we're at the point of the season. I mean, just name value alone, man. If Julio Jones is out there and you have a roster spot for him, or you can manage it and put him on your IR for the meantime, I would do it. I did it in one of my leagues, and I think it's worth a grab.
Yeah, it's a great call. I have him. I mean, I got him a couple of leagues. He's just been hanging out on IR for a little bit and on my bench, wasting away. Maybe I'll win a consolation bracket with Julio Jones this year. For Guyton, you're right. Maybe not a great spot against the Giants. I mean, I think it's okay. I do have a lot of respect for your corners. But also, my Keenan Allen, he could miss a couple weeks. The Chargers play next Thursday, so it could be a Amari Cooper situation. Remember, Amari missed a couple weeks, a couple games. They had the back-to-back Thursday games there, and that Thursday game is against the Chiefs. So, I mean, it could be a bit of a shootout. The last time we saw those two teams play, they combined for 54 points. Guy didn't do anything, but he did pop off last week, 4 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. It's really the only game that he's done anything at all. In terms of defenses, I just wanted to we'll break and we'll touch on the most dropped here. But defenses, again, Tennessee is out there against Jacksonville, I think a pretty good spot. Green Bay was dropped because of the bye, but they got Chicago, Baltimore, and Baltimore's been, you know, Lamar's been throwing some picks. After Baltimore, there's Cleveland. Baker hasn't looked all that phenomenal. Denver's in a really good spot this week against Detroit. They got the Bengals in Las Vegas. Again, set yourself up. Seattle is a risky play because the defense is not great, but they do have a matchup against the
Jamal
Texans
Adams,
this week.
Jamal Adams, I think, is out for the year now.
He is done for the year. Would you risk rolling Seattle defense out against the Texans? They do have 17 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. I mean, the Texans are... They're kind of prone to the. Would you rather go? I'll give you a couple options.
Yeah.
Would you rather go? You're probably going to pick the Chargers. Chargers against your Giants, who've done nothing, by the way. They're not a good fantasy defense. Last week they had 20, but before that, 3, negative 1, 4, 1, 3, 6, negative 3. They haven't really done a whole lot, but it is the Giants and some major questions at quarterback. Seattle against Houston. New Orleans against the Jets, pretty much rostered everywhere. That would be the one. Carolina against Atlanta. So you got three options here. Chargers against the Giants, Seattle against Houston, Carolina against Atlanta.
I'd go Seattle in that situation. I actually think the Jets-Saints game is a good fantasy matchup. I think Zach Wilson's a guy that even in Superflex leagues, in redraft Superflex leagues, people are down on. He actually had a relatively good week last week against the Eagles. And I know we like to, you know, kind of get at him for that one really bad game against the Patriots or we had two really bad games against the Patriots. Yeah. But everyone has bad games against the Patriots. So, he's coming off an injury. I don't know. I actually think he could be sneaky. I'm not saying this guy is the next chosen one like we were, you know, in the beginning of the year, but I do think he's in a good spot against the Saints this week. The Saints defense hasn't been very good. Now they'd have to probably get pass rush on Zach Wilson to really, you know, generate any fantasy production. But I don't mind Seattle in that spot more because Davis Mills is Davis Mills, right? I think he's kind of all those guys more reluctant to just kind of turn the ball over without you doing much to him. So I'd go Seattle in that spot, but I do like Tennessee against Jacksonville this week. I kind of think that's a good spot in terms of a chance to maybe break one and score a touchdown, right? So that's what you're kind of looking for in your streaming defenses.
Yeah, and the offensive line is trash in Jacksonville, and there's been a lot of turnovers there. I will say Carolina, too, and they played Atlanta earlier in the season. They had 10 fantasy points. They had 3 sacks, 2 picks. Matt Ryan is kind of prone to having a couple turnovers there. And then I agree with the Zach Wilson. We'll keep an eye on Elijah Moore. Like, if Elijah Moore doesn't play this week and they're already down Corey Davis, then that could just be a disaster for Zach Wilson. But there's lots of defensive streaming options out there. There's actually a ton. And that was – I left them off. The top five, like I said, most added were all just kind of DST streaming options. So set yourself up, not just for this week, even if you're going to be on a bye, guys, even if you're headed for a bye next week, take a look at the week 16 schedule. It always screws me up. Take a look at the week 16 schedule and set yourself up for defenses. You want to just have yourself set for the next couple weeks so you don't have to be hitting the waiver wire, spending that fab. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll look at the most dropped players. Keep it locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in here, Mean Streets, on Game Plus Network. Troy Nowak hanging out with us. We appreciate you, Troy, always hanging out in the Dangle Bet Selly show and here on Mean Streets. Chris Meany and Eric Young, t-shirts, please. I don't know. What do you think we should put on those t-shirts? I don't know. I guess Dangle Bet Selly, potentially. I don't know. Troy, think of something. Maybe we can come up with a couple giveaways. We've been looking to do some giveaways here on this show and Dangle Bet. One more thing I wanted to say to you about Russell Gage is over the last 4 weeks, he does lead Atlanta in targets with 30, catches with 22, and yards with 241. Right? It's not Kyle Pitts. It's been Russell Gage. So he's been a big opportunity. He's been there.
Well, and I want to talk situation here, Russell Gage. I thought I was speaking to you in the green room, but I have so many things muted that I can't figure out what's on and what's off. But I was going to tell you, so I picked up Tennessee to play this week against Jacksonville to fill in for New England's defense, which I have. Now, the thing is, though, I don't love Tennessee's matchup in week 16. Now, they scored a touchdown against Jacksonville the last time they played, 14 fantasy points, which is great. But if they're going to pick it up Green Bay here, eat it to play this week against Chicago, because in 2 weeks, I like their matchup against Cleveland at home way more than I like Tennessee's matchup. I'll confirm who they have here. But I don't know. I got to start to look ahead against San Francisco. Would I rather Tennessee against San Francisco or rather Green Bay against Cleveland? Like, it's kind of like a, you know, New England's playing Buffalo, so I could roll them out there and not get too cute, right? Play the number one defense. But, you know, I feel like that's more of a floor play. So something to think about.
It, It really is. Yeah. You, like I said, I mean, you get your, set yourself up. I do have New England in one spot as well. And I was taking a look at that. I needed a win this week to get in just to solidify. So I did roll with Carolina over Atlanta. Were you surprised that, the comments are great?
Yeah, I'm looking at the comments too.
Can we
give you and Eric looking into a pro wrestling S theme shirt or a comic book S theme shirt? As long as I can be buried in the back somewhere.
Yeah, how good was the Eric Young promo yesterday for, I mean, Steven Stamkos kind of dropped the ball. We did get his assist prop at plus 150. We did get his assist prop at plus 150, but he didn't really do anything, Eric. So I don't know how angry is he. Texted me last night at like 1:30. Steven Stamkos, he didn't do anything last night. And my bets were bad. It's like, all right, man. Hopefully more angry Eric on Thursday. There was one thing I wanted to talk to you about. Maybe I'll just save it. It was the Brady. Were you surprised about the Brady? Did I talk to you about that, the Joe Brady firing at Carolina? Or is that with Jake?
We talked about it, just not on air. It was definitely surprising and obviously a scapegoat move, I feel, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I think
he's
going to
have a job next year, right?
He was going to have a job. He was going to leave Carolina anyways for a job. People were linking him to the Bengals before they started. Everyone was hoping the Bengals did terrible so we can get Joe Brady back with Burrow and Chase and the whole LSU team there. Like, this guy's been rumored of a head coaching job for a minute now. It's one of those situations where it's like, no. You didn't quit. I fired you, right? He's like, oh, all right. Yeah, like, I was going to leave anyways. It's like, okay. So I think he did him a favor. Kind of random to happen. I mean, the Panthers are still in the playoff chase, so I don't really get that move. So
yeah, I don't know either. All right. Most drops. There's really not a lot to talk about here with these guys. I think, Tino, this is probably the first time ever where there may not be a guy on this list where we would talk about, oh wow, that was a mistake. You shouldn't have dropped this guy. You should have hung on to him, right? Next man up, sort of deal. Matt Breida takes the cake here. Matt Breida does. That was a fun ride, I guess. The Bills don't run the football, guys. They don't run the football. And Zach Moss was active last week. Boston Scott. This one, I suppose. I mean, the Eagles are on a bye this week and next week. Miles Sanders is like, I think, a 2-week injury, so it could be sprinkled in Scott and Kenneth Gainwell. I know that Scott. I saw somebody who was pretty upset with a ranking that we had over at FTN Fantasy for Scott at like RB35. Like, it was RB35. He was sick. We didn't really know. He was questionable with an illness. Didn't know that he wasn't going to play. He didn't touch the field. He was dealing with the illness. So I think people are burned there. I think in deeper formats, maybe, right? You got Philly and Washington next week. If there's no Miles Sanders, I do believe that Scott would be the lead there with Jordan Howard sideline. Rashad Bateman puts up a zero. Everybody's like, screw this guy. Carson Wentz is on bye. Tua Tagovailoa. He's got four straight games with 70% completion rate. He's been fine, I think, in a super flex league, but Miami's on a bye here. Derek Carr let everybody down last week. Foster Moreau, I take the L on that. He just didn't do anything. He does have KC this week. Rex Burkhead, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Ty Johnson on that list. I'm a sucker for punishment. I may roll out Foster Moreau in a deeper format. Who knows? I think there'll be a little bit more passing this week against the Chiefs, but there's really nobody on this list, right, that seems like it's a mistake to drop?
Maybe the running backs, right? I think Wilson, Ty Johnson, right? Tevin Coleman is a nice pickup this week, but all of a sudden if Tevin Coleman gets hurt without Michael Carter, Ty Johnson's in a great spot, right? And with all these wide receivers going down in New York. So, I mean, nothing glaring right now, but really just a next man up situation. I guess the quarterbacks, but I don't know. In single quarterback leagues, you can kind of add, drop, and stream. I was able to pick up Tua a couple places, and he did pretty serviceable for me the last couple weeks as well. But, yeah, I mean, drop Matt Breida. Good. I don't have anything for you guys. Also, I wanted to mention George has a good game for us here. And he said, who can pick a worse parlay than me? I was thinking, let's do one better. George, you put a parlay together. And let's do a fade George parlay. I think, you know, ooh. Hey, listen, George, you can't be afraid to fade yourself sometimes. So if the game is pick a worse parlay than you, we just fade your parlay and it might be a winner. You know, that's just the way I look at it.
George has had the worst luck. I'm telling you, man, he's had some brutal luck. I've seen some parlays from him that it's like, oh my goodness. Like what did you do, dude? Like to get this kind of bad mojo. Like, what is happening? I mean, last night he had the under in Nashville and Detroit. I think it was 2-1 heading into the third period. It looked like you were well on your way, and then boom. And then last night, the Tampa Bay Lightning to beat the Habs by 2. I mean, they played their worst game. I guess when you play Montreal, you kind of just, we'll just take it easy a little bit. They were down in the third period, and then they scored 2 goals in the final 2 minutes to win, but to win by 1. And I don't know, George, if you were watching that game, but Tampa hit the bar towards the end, and it would have been to win by 2, right? Oh, they would have had 3 goals in the last 2 minutes, which would have turned around your luck, I thought. That would have been their turning point. I think we'll be able to do it. This week, Garland 2 points plus 540. I don't know. We'll get into that in a little bit. Tough matchup against the Bruins. I don't know if I'm totally interested in that one, but we do have some stuff. Quickly before we get out of here, just some NBA stuff I wanted, or some NFL stuff here. So mention Elijah Moore considered day to day with a quad injury. Did not practice. Did George say something again? I'm not keeping track of this.
He just said I was watching. I feel bad. It's worse that he was watching. It makes it so much worse. It's slow and painful.
I was watching. .. Yeah. Joe Burrow finger limited in practice today. He is going to play through this, but as a Burrow owner, I'm a little concerned. I'm thinking myself, I would probably start Taysom Hill. And I know it's crazy to think, guys, but it really is all about your situation, the risk that you want to take. Do you want to take that risk? The higher ceiling does belong to Joe Burrow. The safer floor belongs to Taysom Hill. The Texans say no decision has been made for Tyrod Taylor, but everything that I'm reading is, you know, it's a week-to-week thing here, so we could see Davis Mills. Tevin Coleman is in concussion protocol, so the Ty Johnson drops. Maybe that's one that you don't want to drop him because it could be just his backfield if Tevin Coleman doesn't play. JD McKissick returned to practice. He missed last week due to a concussion. And this is the big one here that I notice is Montez Sweat. I know from a fantasy standpoint, whatever. But from a real life standpoint, this is a big game here between the Cowboys and Washington. He's on the COVID list. He's out this week against the Cowboys. I think that's a pretty big loss for Washington, already without Logan Thomas, who's done for the season as well. Brendan checks in. Why are there so many finger injuries to quarterbacks? There have been a lot this year. There have been. It's just the throwing, right? You see it all the time. You throw, you hit a helmet, and that's it.
Well, there's that. You could also break your ball, break your hand on the ball, you know, or break your finger on the ball. It happens all the time. You can just throw it and it could just, you know, go the wrong way. Snap. I did want to mention, because you mentioned Logan Thomas, I think a nice little pickup would be Ricky Seals-Jones. Yeah, from a tight end perspective, he's not a bad pickup. Also, I know we want to talk NFL lines at some point, but I think that's a good game to talk about because I think, you know, I understand the football team, almost called them the R words, but the football team are rolling right now and the Cowboys are kind of on and off, but I don't see Dallas losing that game. I don't
either.
And
let's
if
break.
Sweat isn't there? Yeah, we could talk.
Let's break and do that quickly. Cause we do have some NHL and some NBA stuff to get to. All right, welcome back in. We're going to take a look at just a sneak peek here. I know it is week 14 officially. It does get underway tomorrow. We will have Jill Gallant on here, and we'll talk, all three of us. I mean, we'll touch on our favorite props. We'll pick that game and all that good stuff and some touchdowns. But you mentioned Dallas and Washington. I agree, man. Joined Jill yesterday. I don't remember what side he was on. I think he was just like being a Cowboys fan who's a little hesitant to go with the favorite in Dallas. But I think that the Cowboys roll here against Washington this week. You agree? I mean, that spread could change pretty quickly. At 3.5, I think you just jump on it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it 3.5, 4. Like, I get it. I get why it's there. And, like, I talked about this with you with the Giants and Eagles. When I saw the Giants are 3.5-point dogs against the Eagles, it's just like the NFC East. It's, like, infamous for that, right? I mean, any divisional game, it's like if you're getting a home team getting a field goal, you feel pretty good about it. Just, I don't know, man. Like, eventually something's got to give. Washington's offense has been all right, right? But the defense has been keeping him in play. I mean, 17-15 was a result of the last two games. Like, I just don't think that'll get it done against Dallas. I don't think Dallas is only scoring 15 points, right? So, it's like, I think Dallas is going to score touchdowns, and I don't know if Washington's going to be able to keep up with that. Logan Thomas scored a touchdown last week. He was a big touchdown option for them over the last 2 years. He's gone again. McKissick is banged up. So they got to rely on Gibson a lot. Dallas relatively good in the run game. I don't know, man. I just don't think it's a great matchup for Washington. I know a lot is on the line here in terms of the division. We talk about how they might end up winning the East. This is a game that kind of proves that. And I think I like Dallas to win here. 4-2 on the road. And they're great against the spread. They really are good against the spread too.
And that it is changing, by the way. So yesterday, I looked at this before I prepared with Jill, and I saw 3.5 in some spots. DK's got it at 4.5. BetMGM has it at 4.5. There's no 3.5 at all anymore. So if you want to jump on the boys, like, just do it now. I thought maybe originally it would go the other way. We could get a 3 potentially, but it does seem like Dallas people are maybe just hammering the boys here with that sweat news. Yeah, I know it's a division game, and you and I especially, we know a lot about the NFC East, and a lot of these teams play each other tight, but I feel like the boys are going to win that game. I'm on Tampa at 3. I think that the Bucs beat the Bills 3. I just think Buffalo has a lot of issues going on. It could be a bounce-back spot. There's a lot of inconsistencies in the Bills game so far. There's a couple tough games, like San Francisco. That's basically a coin flip. That one's a tough one. I hate to sit here and talk about your Giants, but I mean, that's a double digit spread. I mean, LA 10.5. Is that one that you think?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Jake Fromm play since he played at Georgia. So I don't know what to expect.
Anybody?
Yeah. And this is just me being a Giants fan. I mean, we're supposed to have a ton of weapons back. I don't know, man. I'm going to stay away from that game. Getting the hook is nice. I mean, the Giants defense could keep them close, but I'm probably staying away. I mean, I could look as close as tomorrow's game. I think tomorrow's game's a hard one to figure out. Both teams super inconsistent. Looks like the Steelers are rejuvenized all of a sudden because Big Ben's announcing his retirement. They're getting 3.5. They're getting the hook against a Minnesota team that, yeah, they're home, but they lost at home on prime time to who's the Dallas backup quarterback? Why am I forgetting it? I was about to say Kellen Moore.
Oh, Cooper Rush?
Cooper Rush, yeah, Cooper Rush. They lost to Cooper Rush at home in prime time earlier this year. I know. And Pittsburgh, they just beat a division rival. They're trying to battle for their lives. They're getting the hook. Minnesota's probably played more field goal games than anyone in the league, and that's including the NFC East.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. Without Cook, without Thielen, it's weird for me to try to bet on the Steelers here, but I think that's where the value's at. I think it's on the 3.5.
I agree, and we will talk about that more tomorrow. You can get 3.5 points bet -110. Yeah, go look at the Vikings schedule. I mean, Vikings fans probably know this. Heartache all year long. Mm-hmm. It's been we'll dive into it tomorrow. I will look into it tomorrow, but I want to say off the top of my head, like, there's been 7 games that they've had this season that have come down to, like, the final play of the game, whether it's, like, a turnover, they're right there, a walk-off the other way. They've been walked off.
I mean, Last week with Detroit.
Let's put this up quick time. Caesar checks in here. Is this a good trade? Elijah Moore, Cooks, and Mooney for Tyreek Hill. PPR, 12-man league. I would have Kupp, Jefferson, and Hill. Absolutely.
Yes.
I love it. I dig it. I love these moves. That's everything that I say when I write the fantasy football trade article on Tuesdays. I haven't been doing it now because I thought trades were over, Caesar. But I would do that. I'm all for the 3-for-1. You're getting the best player in the deal. Forget Mooney, forget Cooks. These guys are so inconsistent. Their quarterbacks are brutal. You're getting Tyreek Hill. You're getting a wide receiver one. You're getting a top 5 wide receiver. You have 3 top 5 wide receivers now for the fantasy football playoff time. Absolutely love that trade. Get it done now before the Elijah Moore owner starts to freak out, or you're the Moore owner. The other guy on the other side doesn't want Moore because he didn't practice today. So go do it now. Pull a fast one. All right, NHL picks, and I got to give Tino some time here, so some NBA. We got some NBA props as well, some 3-point props, but we'll talk NHL here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in here to Mean Streets. Let's talk a little NHL props, and I got some picks as well. So there's only a handful of games in the NHL. Tino, let's start with the props here. We do have John Harris hanging out with us, my guy. John, are we going back to Rupe Hintz? I know he's burned us a couple times in a row. As you see on the board, I didn't put Rupe Hintz. I didn't put Connor Garland. I like both of those guys. I do like Garland a little bit more. Vegas has been a bit more stingy lately. I'm really looking forward to that Dallas and Vegas game. I have no problem with Hintz. I just didn't want to give Hintz on the board again after it's been 2 straight times where he hasn't hit. The past couple days on the show, it's been 3-for-5. It's not good enough. 3-for-5, if that's going to be our bad days, that's okay, but we got to give a 4-for-5 here. So I'm starting with just 2 guys that I'm super confident in all the time, no matter the matchup, and that's Max Pacioretty and David Pastrnak. So Pastrnak didn't hit in his last game, but it was a tougher matchup against Tampa Bay. But he has hit quite often over the past few days at 4 shots, 6, 8, and 6. So he's hitting 4 of his past 5. As for Pacioretty, he's hitting 5 of his past 6. It's returning to the lineup. Some massive shot prop games from him. And usually plus money for Pacioretty. 5, 9, 7, 6, and 4. Again, he's really, really likes to shoot the puck. He's among the leaders in shot attempts. attempts, both him and Pastrnak. They're inside the top five in shot attempts per 60 minutes at 5-5 because they both missed some time so far this season, so they're not among the leaders. Nathan MacKinnon just broke out in the last game. He had 8 shots. The Rangers played last night against Chicago, so this is the second half of a back-to-back. You guys know that I love the Rangers. The Rangers in the under has been really good to us for the most part, but no Shesterkin. Georgiev played last night. The Rangers played last night. I think Colorado coming in here. You see him and Kadri. Dustin checks in. Kadri at over 3.5 at plus 110. I think that's okay, honestly. I think I would rather go with MacKinnon. You're going to get a better price for Kadri at 3.5 plus money, but he has cleared 2.5 in 9 straight games. I just think 4 is a lot to ask for Kadri when it comes to him. Again, there are some other guys here. Rupe Hintz, if you want, Connor Garland, if you want. Boston is among the leaders in eliminating shot attempts and shots on goal. That's why I don't have Connor Garland on this list for 5. I'm fine with him if you want to include. Like, there's only a handful of games here in the NHL. You see that there's 2 from one team here. So I'm fine if you wanted to just look for a couple others that you can put into your parlays. You can go with Garner. I would go Rupe Hintz ahead of Garland because of that matchup against the Bruins. But Pacioretty is the play for me in that Vegas and Dallas game. Let's get to some picks. And we will have some assist props over at ftmbets.com. We did have 3 of the 5 yesterday as well. So the Bruins against Vancouver here tonight. Decent odds for a Boston team. Going to get Brad Marchand back. Bruce, there it is. I saw the excitement in Vancouver the other day. They got a new coach in town. I get it. You know, usually a team's just they're feeling themselves a little bit more. It's like a clean slate to impress the coach, the new management. You're probably going to have a little bit of a giddy up in Vancouver step again tonight, but I like the Bruins. I like Vegas to end things here for Dallas here tonight. I like the under. You see, I got the parlay there. I got Colorado. They're juiced, on the money line against the Rangers, but as I mentioned, a tough spot for them in the back-to-back. So Colorado, Philly, and New Jersey, the over 6. Both teams are atrocious defensively, especially the Flyers. They've allowed 14 goals in their past couple games, but I have them here to get off the schneid and get a win at plus 140. This is because the Devils are not that great of a team. The Flyers can get it done here tonight at plus 140. We did have the Islanders to end their losing streak last night. So I do have the over 6 goals, the under of Vegas and Dallas under 5.5 at plus 467. A whole lot more over at ftmbets.com. And we have some NBA stuff in here next. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome. Whoa, what's going on? Here we go. I get distracted in between breaks, man. Live television, it's great. We appreciate everybody in the Anthem Sports Entertainment Control Room. We love you. Glennie Mack, what up? All right, there was a couple NHL assist props I wanted to get to. Just quickly, Hamilton plus 185 for the Devils, Rantanen plus 100. I wanted to give some assist props. Those are the guys. Hamilton plus 185 against a Flyers team that has allowed 14 goals over the past couple of games? Absolutely. All right, before we get to your NBA picks, let's bring up the 3-point props. Here we go. I got 5 of them here for you guys. You see Garrison Matthews, he's cleared in 5 straight games and some massive minutes lately. 30 plus minutes in 5 straight games for Matthews. 4-for-6, 3-for-10, 4-for-7, 5-for-11, 5-for-9. Those are just shots beyond the arc. Lonzo Ball, RIP, on the board here today, but I'm feeling him. 8th and threes made this season. 25 attempts over his last 3 games. He's cleared 2.5 in 5 of his past 7. This is the big one. Kelly Oubre Jr., he's plus money for 4 threes here today. 17 threes in his last 3 games. Man, he's been shooting quite a bit. And he has cleared quite a bit as well over his last few games. He's got 23 attempts over his last couple games. And the thing with Charlotte is just everybody is on the COVID list. So there's been a lot of just opportunity here for guys like Kelly Oubre. 10 three attempts per game over his last 7. 10 three attempts. That's massive. Cade Cunningham in there at 2.5. He's cleared 2.5 in 4 straight games. 32 attempts from beyond the arc over his last 4. That's the key for me. I'm looking for guys that are shooting from beyond the arc. And then Bogdanovich over 2.5. This is a guy as well who has cleared in 5 of his past 7 games and a lot of shot attempts. I mean, 9, 8, 11 from beyond the arc as well. Tino, man, I'm brutal. I thought I'd give you more time here for some picks, but you've been crushing it. What do you got for us? There's a lot of games to look at here. You went perfect today, didn't you?
No, 2-1. The Celtics, I told you that was going to be a hard one to predict. LeBron was very angry, and he carried the Lakers to that victory. So it makes sense. Makes total sense, although he couldn't do that against the Clippers, but we won't bring that up. Yeah, you know, I'm used to rifling through these things. So we have four games that are really popping out to me. I think the Bulls line's mispriced. Now, I know DeMar DeRozan and Caruso are going to be out for this game, or at least it looks that way. The Cavaliers actually a very sneaky good team this year. They're at home, but whenever the Bulls are dogs, similar to what I told you with the Nets, I think the Bulls are good enough now with some of these top-heavy East teams in an Eastern Conference matchup. If you can get them as underdogs, you just bet them every time. I think if you do that enough, you'll turn out profitable. The Bulls still have LaVine. They still have Lonzo. I think that's great for the Lonzo three-point bet, so that's good news there. A little James Harden revenge game here. I know that's like a narrative, and we don't really feed into it. Harden going back to his favorite place in the world, Houston. Gotta love it. I'm sure he's going to do some extracurriculars before and after the game. But only a six-point spread here for the Nets. Now, they're coming off a back-to-back. The Nets typically don't play well off back-to-backs, especially not on the road. Six is really low for a Rockets team. Although they've been streaking, they're just not good. I think they've won six in a row. They only have seven wins. So, yeah, they're hot. They're great, but they're 7-16. So I think eventually that's going to come crashing down. Six just isn't very high for a team that I think is just way above them. Also 9-2 on the road, like I mentioned yesterday. Now we're going to parlay the Bing Bong parlay again because we're playing with house money. Yeah. So we hit it at about 4-1 yesterday. So now we're just playing with some free money here. The Knicks road dogs against the Pacers. They played twice this year. The home team has won both times. But I don't know. RJ had a career day yesterday. They do match up pretty well against the Pacers. This is a team that they've naturally not been able to get over a hump on since the Melo days. And I don't know. I think the Knicks are going to find some trouble here in the back-to-back. If you want to go money line, I don't recommend it. If you want to, we can get 4-1 again, but you can get about 2.5-1 if you just take the Knicks and the Nets. The Knicks are getting 5 points here. I like it in a two-possession game. Both these two matchups they had earlier in the season haven't been really close, both near double-digit wins. One was for the Pacers. I think this will be a lot closer. I like getting two possessions here with 5 points. And the Sixers, you mentioned it, the Hornets, everyone's on COVID. Joel Embiid, they were winning by a lot. LaMelo kind of brought them back in that last game. We were on the Hornets. They cover the same exact spread. Without all those guys, I don't see them keeping pace with Joel Embiid. He had a 43-point double-double the last time they played. Yeah. So I think that's going to be tough to cover. 6-point spread again. So not enough. Not enough for not me enough. To get away.
You crushed it. We crushed it. We're only a handful of seconds. Just a couple seconds over, Glennie Mack. We appreciate it. Dustin, Stone assist. I do like it. Just don't like a lot of goals in that game, but I always like Stone assist plus money, and I always like Pacioretty plus money, probably plus 200 for an assist because he's a volume shooter, but he can fall into an assist as well. I appreciate everybody hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one.